Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Tim Shorrock, a Washington-based investigative reporter and author of Spies for Hire, The Secret World of Outsourced Intelligence, and discuss his article at The Nation, A Modern-Day Stasi State, and the role of ex-NSA and CIA head General Hayden and others who accelerated the privatization of intelligence to the point where today over two-thirds of the intelligence budget goes to private contractors. Then we'll examine why the good news about the improving economy has not been covered in the press, in contrast to the earlier flood of the sky is falling reports parroting propaganda from deficit hawks like Wall Street billionaire Pete Peterson. Mark Blyth, a professor of international economy at Brown University and author of Austerity, The History of a Dangerous Idea, joins us to discuss how America escaped the austerity trap that has mired the Eurozone, even though the deficit hawks are still demanding we follow Europe's disastrous path. Then finally, we will look into a new report from a year-long investigation by CNN, the Tampa Bay Times, and the Center for Investigative Journalism into the 50 worst charities in the United States who took in $1 billion last year and only spent $50 million on the needy. Kendall Taggart, a researcher and writer for the Center for Investigative Reporting, joins us to discuss the report on America's worst charities, which is available at cironline.org, and the scandalous fleecing of generous Americans who think they are donating to help dying children. Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Tim Shorrock, who is a Washington-based investigative journalist and the author of Spies for Hire, The Secret World of Outsourced Intelligence. Over the past 35 years, his work has appeared in The Nation, Salon, Daily Beast, Mother Jones, The Progressive, Foreign Policy and Focus, and The Asia Times. His latest article at The Nation is A Modern-Day Stasi State. Welcome to Background Briefing, Tim Shorrock.
Thank you.
And Tim, you've been really ahead of the pack in terms of focusing on the intelligence industrial complex that only recently came to light with the Edward Snowden affair. And much of the argument, of course, in the press is the familiar argument of civil liberties versus national security. But I've lately been talking to former CIA officer Bob Baer, who's saying that everybody that comes out of the agency and out of the special forces complains to him about the contractors swindling the public. And I spoke with William Binney the other day as well, and Thomas Drake. And so, I mean, obviously, you probably agree with me that this is where the real story is, isn't it? Some of this stuff doesn't work, and billions are going in this form of right-wing welfare.
Absolutely. That's one big part of it. But I think in terms of what's happened in terms of Snowden's revelations is that we really need to look at the fact that a company like Booz Allen Hamilton is involved like this at the highest levels of U.S. intelligence. I mean, that's also the big story, that they're doing operations that many Americans consider unconstitutional and dangerous, yet they're at the highest levels there at NSA and CIA and lots of other agencies. And I think that's very dangerous. And yes, in terms of swindling the public, that's a great term. And, you know, Bill Binney and Tom Drake were the whistleblowers on one of the NSA's worst intelligence failures, which was this foolish idea, I might add, to privatize their analysis of signals intelligence. According to Drake, they wasted upwards of $6 billion on that project, which was managed by the contractor SAIC, when Booz Allen Hamilton was a subcontractor as well. And they never produced an iota of intelligence, and the thing was shut down and canceled in 2005. It was a disaster. And there's disasters like this have been repeated again and again within intelligence, and the problem is they're classified, they're secret, we don't find out. Very hard to find out what actually happened and the kind of swindling that really does go on.
But the people who are in charge get promoted for wasting the taxpayers' money. In this case, General Hayden was in charge of the NSA when Trailblazer was blowing through $6 or even $8 billion. We still don't really know the full figures. Look at Booz Allen, the ultimate revolving door with the former head of NSA, and now its vice president, the former head of national intelligence, a former employer. And they, Booz Allen, are in turn owned by the ultimate revolving door company, which is the Carlyle Group, started by Frank Carlucci, former national security advisor to President Reagan. So this is the part that I find really disgusting, is the immunity here that these people have from wasting the taxpayers' money because of this cloak of secrecy.
That's right. No accountability. And you know, I call it not a revolving door, but a spinning door, because these people go in and out. I mean, McConnell at Booz Allen started out, you know, in the Navy intelligence. He eventually was promoted to be the director of the NSA under President Clinton. Actually, in the latter days of the first Bush administration, he served as NSA director during the Clinton administration. Then he went back to Booz Allen Hamilton running its military intelligence programs. And then he went to be the director of national intelligence under President Bush. And now he's back at Booz. And you see this again and again. And I think one of the real questions is, what kind of understandings, not necessarily deals, but what kind of understandings do these people have with these companies before they go to them? And, you know, what do these companies expect when they move from the agency to a private company like Booz Allen or SAIC or Northrop Grumman or any other of them? And I think, you know, that's something that really needs to be looked at too. Because we don't know. There's no transparency. There's no accountability. And there's just these very, very, you know, vague laws about, you know, you can't go from a top government position to a contractor and lobby. Well, a lot of what these people do, they're not lobbying. They might sit on a board of directors and they provide advice. They say, well, you know, these people that come out of the highest levels of intelligence, like Hayden, they know, you know, what the future plans of their agencies are, you know, 10 or 15 years. They know what the agency's doing, what it's looking for, and they go to these companies and they can provide real strategic advice on, you know, the kinds of programs they should pitch to the agency and that kind of thing. And so, they pitch things that are often wasteful. In the case of Trailblazer, that was, you know, Hayden basically handed over management and planning for that project to the private sector companies. You know, Booz Allen was one of the companies that advised them on the project at the initial stages. They decide among themselves that it should go to SAIC. SAIC gets in and runs it, hires these companies back as subcontractors, and then they completely fail to produce anything. And then, as you say, there's no accountability. The money keeps pouring in, despite the fact that it's a massive failure. They still get contracts. Hayden gets promoted, not only to the director of the CIA, he became a very senior official in the director of National Intelligence Office. And then, of course, now he's with the Chertoff Group, and he's also on the board of two companies that do business with NSA. So, you know, it's a spinning door, and it's a corrupt mess.
And of course, the Chertoff Group is really the poster boy for ripping off the government, where the former head of Homeland Security is able to sell these machines that scan you at airports, and a lot of them don't work, but he's made a ton of money.
And one thing about that is that, of course, when he's at the Homeland Security, when he was at the Department of Homeland Security, of course, he knew about, you know, these kinds of what the agencies needed, you know, what the agency in this case needed. And so he goes to the company and, you know, sells the equipment back to them. And this, you know, this kind of thing happens again and again. And if any of you bothers to look, if you bother to look at their website of the Chertoff Group, you'll see in the list of people that work for them, they've kind of created a little mini NSA there. It's, you know, Hayden is one. There's all kinds of people there that served at very high levels of the NSA that are working there.
Again, I'm speaking with Tim Sharrock, who's a Washington-based investigative journalist and the author of Spies for Hire, The Secret World of Outsourced Intelligence. He has an article at The Nation, A Modern-Day Stasi State. He also has an article at Salon.com, Meet the Contractors Analyzing Your Private Data. One of the questions I have, Tim, is that these private companies, even though in the case of Booz Allen they get 98% of their money from the U.S. taxpayer, they are still private entities. And what is to stop them from taking a contract, say, from the Koch brothers or for some corporation that wants to spy on a union that they don't like, they don't want to make a contract with, or the Koch brothers to spy on, say, environmental activists who are against the Keystone Pipeline?
Well, that's already happened. I mean, people were looking into this company Palantir and the relationships they had with a couple contractors that were digging up information for the Chamber of Commerce and other business organizations that were, you know, trying to hammer the environmental groups, you know, say they were against the oil, you know, pipeline coming in from Canada and that thing. So, you know, these companies can definitely be used that way. Doesn't necessarily mean that they use the same intelligence they gather for the agencies for that work, but it means that they know, you know, how to gather intelligence on people. And they have the technologies and the techniques to use the internet and to track people in all kinds of ways and hand that over in a package to the corporate clients that might be paying them to dig that information up.
Well, but they also have the government funded hardware to do it.
Exactly. I mean, they get the government funding and they win these contracts, and you know they make a lot of money on these projects. Mm-hmm. And of course, they use that money as well to lobby. And you know, one of the things I found is looking at some of these companies. You know, you look at their lobbying reports, and you know, it's not like they're passive, waiting around for RFPs to come from this agency or that, and then they bid for it, which is sort of the way it's sort of, you know, portrayed. But I mean, they go in Congress and they lobby, and you'll find in their lobbying reports they're lobbying to actually, you know, persuade Congress to privatize, you know, certain functions, and they're lobbying the agencies to privatize certain things. You'll see in their reports, you know, that's the issue they're lobbying on, privatization. And so, you know, they urge, you know, an agency or Congress to look at an agency and you know, make the, you know, contract out, you know, certain things, and then they bid for it when it becomes, you know, privatized. So they're using our money to build their markets and to outsource much more of our public services. You know, it's hard to use the word service when you look at surveillance, but, you know, this is the government. This is supposed to be a public service and supposed to be protecting us as citizens. Instead, it just seems to be, you know, making, you know, billions of dollars for private sector companies.
And, Tim Sharrock, in terms of your article at The Nation, A Modern-Day Stasi State, obviously, the Stasi were the East German secret police that were ubiquitous and controlled that state and controlled the rest of Germans at the front line of the Warsaw Pact during the Cold War to keep them on their side of the Berlin Wall. But what are the analogies then in terms of that kind of decrepit state being kept together by secret police at this, you know, ideological level? You know, closest thing, I think, to George Orwell's 1984. What is the comparison then to the United States here when, you know, so much of it just feels like government swindles from private contractors producing...
Right. Well, you know, first of all, that headline of that story is a little bit over the top. And I didn't write it, and that often happens in this business, because they lifted, you know, they took that from, you know, a paragraph I had. And what I was doing was, you know, Bill Binney, the whistleblower, has often said, you know, we're becoming like the Stasi. And what I was saying was, you know, with these revelations and the fact that, you know, Snowden was a contractor, and we know that there's, you know, half a million contractors with security clearances, and then there's maybe, you know, double or triple that, you know, 1 million or more government employees with security clearances. That's, you know, almost, you know, maybe 2 million people or more that have access to the secrets of their fellow citizens. And that's what I was comparing to the Stasi. I mean, the Stasi, it was like in East Germany, you know, like half the population was in the secret police and listening to the other half. And we're not quite there, but it's similar. I mean, we have millions of people that are monitoring us. And so where you have these sort of large complexes of intelligence industrial complex, they're not only in Washington, but they're in cities like, you know, San Antonio and now in Utah, where they're building this big NSA data center. You know, you have a lot of people, you know, working at these, you know, secret level, classified level at these intelligence agencies, and they're living amidst, you know, us, and they're spying on us. And I think that's what I was talking about. That's what it's beginning to resemble the Stasi in terms of, like, how many citizens have access to the secrets of others. There's this great movie made in about East Germany a few years ago that I believe won the Academy Award, but don't quote me on that, but it's called Lives of Others. People may remember that film. I really urge people to see that film because it shows, you know, how people that were involved in this began to see how wrong it was, because in the story they tell there, you know, they're told to wiretap, you know, an individual in the government, and it turns out that their boss who's urging them to do this is, you know, has some kind of beef with this guy, and he's basically trying to destroy him, and he's not a spy, he's not, you know, telling secrets to the United States or anything. He just is somebody that this manager there is at Stasi didn't like, and so they start bugging him, and they realize it's just basically a personal, you know, attack on this guy, and so they become, you know, begin to question, and perhaps, you know, Snowden went through, you know, some similar exercise where he thought, you know, what am I doing, you know, collecting all this information and my fellow citizens, and that's what he says, and you know, he seems very sincere in what he's saying about the doubts he had. I mean, I think he had no idea that his job would involve, you know, that kind of access to, you know, people's email and telephone calls and, you know, what they do on Facebook and et cetera. So I think he reached a similar realization. So, you know, I was attacked yesterday in the Wall Street Journal by somebody who said I was red baiting the NSA, which I think is hilarious. Anyway, that's how, you know, some people see this as, you know, very, you know, over the top kind of criticism. But, you know, sorry, we have a surveillance state that's unprecedented. And we have our technology is so far advanced than anything they ever even dreamed of in East Germany.
Well, again, Tim Sharrock, Washington-based investigative journalist and author of Spies for Hire, The Secret World of Outsourced Intelligence. He has an article at The Nation, A Modern-Day Stasi State. So, but it seems to me that we have a whole extra level of surveillance that the East Germany, of course, which was largely, the surveillance state was largely to keep a failed ideology imposed on a people who were not getting any consumer goods. And for God's sake, you know, remember the Trabant, the terrible car with a two-stroke motor? But compare that extra layer we have here in the United States with the Googles and the Facebooks hoovering up all kinds of personal information about people who have willingly given away their rights. You know, if you have Gmail, you get it for free, but they get to literally read every email you have, your texts, your tweets. The whole thing is up for grabs. And yet I'm astounded that this commercial Stasi that we have doesn't seem to upset people.
It is strange, but maybe they'll think differently in 5 or 10 years. I don't know. It's maybe, or as more information comes out. But, you know, this is all supposed to be, you know, protecting us from terrorism. And that's what they say. And back in the Cold War, it was supposed to be protecting us from communist, you know, invasion. And there's always some kind of excuse for it. But to violate the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, to violate the First Amendment for that matter, I mean, I don't think a lot of Americans, when it comes down to it, really want to give up those kind of rights. I mean, you know, this warrant that the FISA court issued and that Snowden got hold of, it's the biggest leak ever in the FISA court's history, and that was just a general warrant. You know, they're not getting warrants for like one individual; they're getting warrants for the whole population. So it's just, it's like they put out a huge net and just, you know, catch everybody, and then they download all that and they look at that for, you know, possible connections to, you know, whatever it is that they're looking for. And that's just a very dangerous situation. I mean, of course you want to catch people like the Boston bombers before they did it, but, you know, look at all we have in place when the Boston thing happened, and they certainly, you know, even they had tips from the Russians that these guys might have some connections that were questionable, and they looked at them, and they apparently, you know, the system didn't work very well because they got away with what they did. So you have to wonder, like, how effective all of this really is.
Well, one of the when you talk about the Fourth Amendment, William Binney was telling me the other day that the Fifth Amendment has also been compromised by the surveillance state, because all of that information, for example, that Google and Facebook and that the government have, not that Google and Facebook use it against you in a court of law. They use it just to sell you stuff and to sell you. You may be having a boring conversation, but to them, they're making money. But the point that Binney was making is that there's so much information now out there that it can be used against you, which, of course, is the Fifth Amendment, that you're not supposed to be forced to incriminate yourself. Well, because it's out there, you're already incriminated.
He has a point there. I mean, I had never really quite thought of it that way, but I think that's very true. And that's, I mean, I plead guilty myself. I mean, I've been using Gmail for years, knowing that, you know, they can, you know, find out what I'm saying in my email, because they advertise. You know, I write a lot about Korea. I write a lot about North Korea and South Korea. So every time I send an email about Korea or I post a story or something, I get all these, you know, little advertisements on Gmail about, you know, Korea this or buy this Korean product or something like that. So, yes, it's true. And, you know, I think, I mean, I'm certainly, you know, against it, against this surveillance state, but I think we need to be a lot more careful about what we do put out online, because it's out there and it can easily be collected.
Well, just in closing, Tim Sharrock, the figure that up to 70% of the intelligence budget goes to private contractors, how did you come by that figure?
Oh, well, that was a unclassified document. It was an unclassified PowerPoint presentation that was given by an official with the Office of Director of National Intelligence to a acquisition conference sponsored by the Defense Intelligence Agency in 2007. And it was just sort of a general overview of acquisition practices and policies in intelligence. And the conference was designed to, you know, teach acquisition personnel sort of, you know, the basic rules of intelligence. And so this, you know, this person gave this presentation, and someone, you know, leaked it to me. And, you know, I'm paging through it, and there's this pie chart that showed, you know, this 70%. And, you know, I almost fell out of my chair, because I'd been looking for a figure like this for years. I had actually done an article, I think it was in Mother Jones in about 2005, sort of, you know, just a general article about this phenomenon. And I had talked to a bunch of people then, and they basically, you know, I came to the conclusion that maybe 50% of the budget went to contractors. And that seemed like, wow, that seemed like quite a bit to me, you know, half. But then it turned out to be 70. And then that percent was actually confirmed in 2008 by the ODNI itself in a press conference. The one and only press conference they've ever given on the size of the contractor workforce. And as I wrote about in my Salon piece, the official from DNI, who was, you know, head of their human capital division, who gave the press conference, went on to join Booz Allen Hamilton, and that's where he is now. So
right.
You know, spinning, it keeps on spinning.
Right. Well, Tim Sharrock, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Tim Sharrock, who's a Washington-based investigative journalist and the author of Spies for Hire, The Secret World of Outsourced Intelligence. And he has an article at The Nation, A Modern-Day Stasi State. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about how the deficit hawks are still out there crowing in spite of the good news about the economy.
I'm looking for a sign. I'm looking for the treason that I knew in 65. Beware the Sabbath.